Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here ends our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours, now and always, through God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you looked into the mirror? Probably before you came to church this morning. And after carefully examining your reflection in the mirror, what did you think? Wow, do I look great? Or did you say, wow, I really got to do something different with myself? It's interesting, isn't it? So often when a new year begins, or as we have begun recently, a new decade, 2020, people want to start self-improvement programs to create a real change in their life. Some will even use now this season of Lent as a time for fasting and a time for eating healthier. Not bad ideas. But maybe you decide to join a gym, work out a little bit more, be more faithful in the exercise regimen, or walk a little more. Or perhaps you're facing a more difficult change after your doctor shows you a mirror of your test results, of an x-ray, or a blood test. Or perhaps, after further reflecting in the mirror of life, your wife suggests to you that you should spend maybe a little bit more time with her, or with the kids, or with the grandkids. Whatever the change, whatever you see in the mirror, to move that change is not going to be obstacle-free. No matter how noble it is, it will be fraught with danger of falling into old habits within a month or a year. Which further reveals what happened in today's Old Testament reading, right? How fickle, sinful, and weak we really are by nature. Wouldn't it be just much easier to close our eyes and pretend I don't need to change? But life isn't that way, is it? God's law, God's honest external word is exactly a mirror, calling us to change and to repent. Did you hear God's word like a mirror to Adam today? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree I told you not to eat of? God's word exposes all of us. All of our ugly flaws, sinful flaws, warts and faults. And further, since the law is now rooted in our hearts and in our conscience, guess what? It's never done accusing you. It's always telling you what Paul says in Romans 3. The wages of sin is death. But if there's no hope out of death, then why change? Why repent? It's like my youngest son said to me over the Christmas break, "Dad, if we have to work so hard and all we do is work and work, why should we continue?" I said, "That's a good question. It's a very good question. But the reason we live now is because this isn't the only life we live for. The life we have now in Christ is one that lasts now and into all eternity. Life is hard, difficult, full of changes, calling us daily to die to sin. Adam and Eve reminded us. That text reminds us that we are all going to die. But, and this is the big but now our eyes are fixed on someone else. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the heaven that only He can give. You see, that is your eternal calling. So even though the wages of sin is death, that is not the end. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus your Lord. In other words, dear friend, no matter what the mirror of the law honestly says to you today, that you are corrupt, you are a sinner, you have miserable circumstances. In spite of all of that, the good news is that God declares to you today that you are forgiven, you are loved, you have a place, and you have purpose because Jesus Christ died for you, was buried and rose again, promising you joy and an incorruptible life that will never end. You are called now to live a life that really lasts forever. So that's why we repent. However, unlike changing habits during Lent, the gospel is completely different than the mirror of the law. The gospel is all gift. Something God gives to you, no strings attached. And instead of you trying to change with the gospel, God changes you. That's why St. Paul says here, and you may not have caught it in this text, our old self was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Did you notice that? Was crucified. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. God crucified our flesh in Christ Jesus. It was crucified in holy baptism, as this font here reminds us. When you are baptized into Christ, you are united with Christ. And the Holy Spirit is at work through baptism and the Word in us every single day. And since what happened in today's Old Testament reading, Adam and Eve sinned, the world needed one big bath, didn't it? So God brought a great big bath and flooded the entire world. The highest peak was covered with 20 feet of water and only 8 were saved. Noah and his family. But even with that flood, sin still lingered, right? Death still came. So God initiates a new flood when he sends his son Jesus into the Jordan River. No, not this Jordan River here in Salt Lake, but the Jordan River in the Holy Land. And he initiates a new flood, a brand new bath. And he does it to fulfill all righteousness and to take our sin and stain upon him in those waters. And so since you are now baptized into Christ, all your sin, all of it, is washed away by his death on the cross. And sin's power and the devil's temptation power is drowned. Because Christ conquered the devil. We heard it today, right? Be gone, Satan. He has conquered him. That's why St. Paul says, therefore, if we have been united with him like this in baptism into death, we will be united with him in the resurrection. Even though these bodies that we have will die and be buried and rot, he's going to raise it up again. You know, John the Baptist raised up the mirror, didn't he? He pointed it to us all. Repent, you brood of vipers, to show all people how far they were from God. And you know what? That's a pretty ugly picture. It's never a pretty picture. Because the law always accuses us, and we never measure up. But once you've looked in the mirror, then you're ready for change. That's why John doesn't end his message there. What does John then say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why we're here this morning. That's why you worship here weekly. Not to look at yourself in the mirror as you do when you go to the gym. And what's in a gym? Mirrors all over the place. No, we come here to see something outside of us. No, we come to fix our eyes on Jesus, the Savior. Someone outside of us who sets you free from sin, who gives you hope and life and purpose, Jesus Christ. As St. Paul says, anyone who has died in Christ in baptism has been freed from sin. So that's why we keep the pictures of Jesus around us in this room. That's why we have the beautiful pyramids. Why we have these lovely candles reminding us that Christ is the light of the world in a beautiful banner of the crown of thorns. It's distracting us, but it's focusing us on things that we need to see. These images in God's house remind us what Jesus comes to do. So hear that good news this morning. See it. And as the communion wears, those things come off. Smell it. Smell the wine. And also come and taste it at this table. Every Sunday, dear friends, we celebrate something radical. Jesus Christ has taken away all of your sin and has destroyed it forever. Now your baptism is a river of hope and joy and a place of daily washing and renewal. That's why we fix our eyes on Jesus. And friend, This is exactly what the church needs now more than ever. We need more men like John the Baptist who will declare, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We need more willing and noble men to announce this good news into the ears, minds, and hearts of all God's people. A couple weeks ago, we heard the gospel reading where Jesus called the four fishermen to be what? Fishers of men. And God calls many men from many ages and times. I see Reverend Borcher here. He came as a third career pastor. Calls younger men, bringing Robert along. He's calling other men out of college. 2 years ago, we had a retired chiropractor sell his practice in Bakersfield, coming to be a seminary. This year, we have a lawyer. He's selling his law practice. He's 46 years old from Albuquerque. He's coming to seminary. And in 2021, his son graduates from ASU. And guess where he's coming? He's coming to the seminary. Interesting note here. In the next 10 years, our synod will lose 2,000 of its clergy to death or retirement. Right now, we're only replacing that with about 80 full-time pastors a year. Out of both seminaries. The average age of our clergy in the Missouri Synod is 55 years old. It's not getting younger. So part of my reason here to be with you, dear friends, is to ask you to pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will raise up more men to be pastors, more women to be deaconesses in the church. Pray that we may raise up more heralds of the gospel. And the reason I ask you to prayerfully consider a gift to the seminary is to support us. Because right now, we're promising to every student who comes to the seminary 100% tuition support. That is a huge task for us to do that. And we cannot do it without your help. In the beginning of this new year, Tucker Carlson had a special show on Fox News. It was kind of his New Year special. And it was called The Path to Sobriety. And in that show, he indicated that there was one motivator that took these once alcoholics, once drug abusers, to change. And guess what they had to do? They had to look into the mirror at their lives. And you know what motivated them the most to change? Family members. They saw how much they hurt their spouse, their parents, their children, and family members. And they said, you know what? I never want to do that again. Now, will you ever fully change? Will you ever stop sinning? No. It's impossible in this flesh. Our nature is sinfully corrupt. But thank the Lord that His Word is always a mirror, showing us ourselves the way we need to see it. Honestly exposing a covetous, murderous, greedy me. But once sin is pinned down, don't look there any longer. Instead, look to the face of Christ in the beautiful gospel. Jesus rescues and saves you by His blood. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Dear friends, baptized into Christ, we rejoice today. Because sin is no longer your master. Sin is powerless. Therefore, rise to new life today, just as Jesus sprung from the tomb on Easter. You are connected to the vine. You receive His body and blood today, and you are His fruitful branch. Now serve Him and serve others, bearing the fruit He desires and completing the good works He has prepared in advance for you to do. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.